morning to each one, and greetings in the precious name of Christ. Are you really willing to be the fuel of God's love? Shine bright. Let him use you where he wants you. Are we really that broken and submissive to his will? For message this morning, we want to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, things happen to us in life. There's the unkind words that we hear that are directed toward us. Maybe we're made fun of. That doesn't feel good. Maybe we're evil spoken of. Maybe we're simply misunderstood. Maybe somebody's been flat out mean to us. At least we take it that way. At least it feels that way to us. And you know, things happen, okay? So something happened, and our tendency is to think, okay, somebody is going to make this right. Or they're going to pay for the damages, right? Because there's damages happen here and things need to happen. This is hard to accept and hard to swallow. Maybe somebody suggests that we need to forgive. Forgive. No, never. Can't do that. After all, they did this to me, and somebody's going to pay for this. And some would think that if we actually forgive him, that's actually telling him that he never did that to me. Some have that concept of forgiveness. Or it might say, well, it doesn't matter what he did to me if I forgive him. Is that what forgiveness really is? Is that what we're saying if we forgive someone? And you know, so we go on. And we determine that somebody's going to have to pay for these damages. And we're going to hold these people hostage till they make things right. We might say, well, that's pretty extreme. Plus, you're exaggerating. You know, so we're going to hold people hostage in our thoughts and attitudes. This is just what we tend to do till they make things right, before this thing is cleared up. But now let's stop and think about that. Just analyze that for a moment. So who actually is in bondage now? Who's actually held hostage? Well, we say, well, we're not going to quite do that. We're going to do one step better than that. And we're going to say, okay, I'm going to forgive that person, but I don't want anything to do with them anymore. It happens pretty frequently. How should we respond? How should we handle this? You know, because the fact is, these things, wrongs happen to us. Hurts happen to us. People mistreat us. People misunderstand us. They do things to us sometimes that we have to deal with. We have to process these things. Let's look at a perfect example. Turn to John chapter 8. Let's see how Jesus was treated. None of these are new verses to any of us, but let's just see how he was treated. John chapter 8. John 8 is a chapter where Jesus was discussing various things with the Pharisees, with the Jews, with various groups here, and they really had a hard time understanding him. Or at least they didn't want to understand him. And he was pretty blunt with him. Jesus was. Very kind, but straightforward and blunt and told him exactly how it is. But he did it with a passion for them of wanting to, he was teaching them the truth. And then finally in verse 48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" How'd that make you feel? I don't know. I was never blamed for having a devil. I've been blamed for a number of other things that I don't think were necessarily true, and some of them maybe were. But this is what Jesus was told. Notice in verse 59. So after this comment, Jesus isn't done yet, and he was trying to convince them of the truth. He was not defending himself, he was defending truth. But I think this was getting worse for the Jews. And this discussion of Abraham came up, and that really rocked the boat some more. But then in verse 59, after Jesus made the statement that he was before Abraham, they took up stones to cast at him. Have you ever been stoned? Has it just your discussion with people ever come to that point? Well, sometimes it might feel that way, that they are just willing to do that. But these people literally did. They took up stones and they were fixing to stone Jesus because of how upset they were at him. I don't think Jesus was just bent on defending. He was not bent on defending himself, making them feel like a fool. He was presenting truth, and he wanted them to see that. But these people wanted to stone him. That's what Jesus experienced. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. This was the night that Jesus was betrayed. And they had a little discussion there in verse 51 and down, or 50 and down. But then at the end of verse 56, after he was betrayed, they were starting to lead him away. It said, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." When Jesus needed his disciples the most, when he really needed friends, he was found himself all alone, along with this group of evil men. He was betrayed. At his betrayal, his friends forsook him. This is how Jesus was treated. Oh, I should stay back there. Matthew 27. Here's at his trial. Matthew 27 and verse 28. "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head." Now, what had they just placed on his head before this? A crown of thorns. A crown of thorns. And so after they placed this crown of thorns on his head, they took the reed and smote him on the head. Have you ever been treated like that? Hebrews 12 tells us that we never have. None of us have yet resisted unto blood. Here Jesus had his crown of thorns, and they slapped him on the head with his reed after this crown of thorns, and you could just imagine what that did to him. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Here we have Jesus that is so extremely mistreated, like you and I have never been. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32 and 33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. What a terrible shame. Here was the Almighty God. He was the perfect Lamb, the perfect Son of God. He was led away to be crucified, and not only by himself. Could have been an honor, maybe. But no, there was two others. Two others, sinners, that were crucified with him, and he was in the middle, in the midst of it. How were you ever treated? How does the thing that how I was mistreated, how does that look after a while when we compare ourselves with Jesus? But what is Jesus' example? What does he say in all this? There's many others we can look at, and we well familiar with all Jesus now, with a glimpse of what Jesus experienced. But after he was crucified, in verse 34, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them. What about us? What are we going to do? Let's think about forgiveness. What does that look like? How does that pan out in our everyday life and the experiences that you and I have? Because the fact is, you and I have experiences, not to the extent Jesus did, but we are mistreated sometimes. We saw a list before, and you know how it is for you, and I know how it is for me. Let's consider Matthew 18, a story that Jesus was telling them. Turn to Matthew 18. A familiar story. Matthew 18 and verse 23. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents." 10,000 talents. Now, it's a little hard to say exactly what that is, but approximately $8 to $10 billion. Okay, in our today's language, $8 to $10 billion. I can't imagine racking up debt like that, okay? But $8 to $10 billion. Verse 25, "And forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Here was a payment. Here was a debt, I should say, a debt that this man could never pay. It was impossible, okay? Jesus' point wasn't exactly how much money that exactly was. He just made a point that this was a debt this man could never pay. And so let's just do the best we can. Let's sell this man, let's sell his wife and his children and everything that he has, and let's make payment for this. We've got to get this paid for here somehow or the other. So here this man had a debt he couldn't pay. Let's go back to our thoughts at the beginning. So something happened, right? Something happened and somebody needs to pay. There's got to be a reckoning for this thing that happened to us in some way, somebody. So what can we do so that we can get this thing settled? What does he need to do so that I can have this thing settled? You know, somebody needed to make this thing right. Something needed to be settled here. And you know, the fact is this man could never, he did not have what it took to clear this debt. He could never make this as if it had never happened. Selling everything was still not enough. Well, let's not just see what happened here. Let's think about this. My friends, this morning, you and I have a debt, had a debt that we could never pay. So we stand before an almighty God. There is things in our lives, this sin problem that we have is a debt that we could never pay. You and I have wronged the Lord. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. You and I were made to bring God glory in everything that we do. But we've deviated from that. We come to a point where we find out how selfish we really are. And the sin in our lives, this thing that we have sinned against God, that we have wronged against God, is a debt that you and I could never pay. Never pay. We can sell all that we have. You can try all you want to. We can never pay the debt that you and I owe to the Lord. We could never. You know, here he says that we need to sell everything, that payment need to be made. You know, you can sell everything. Matter of fact, because of our debt, we could spend 1,000 years in hell. Let me tell you something. Our debt would never be paid. Our debt would never be paid. This man had a debt that he couldn't pay. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. How was he expecting to pay that? If he hadn't up to that point, how was he expecting to make payments? Lord, if you just be patient with me. He hadn't up to that point. There was no way possible this could have been done. No way possible this could have been done. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 26. I think we can look at that as a call. We can call that repentance. You know, like I said, you and I, as we compare ourselves in our sinful state, if we're living in sin, if we got this debt that we could never pay, if there's a load upon us that we could never pay, there is. Without God, there's a load upon us that we could never pay. But in verse 26, we recognize the fact that we could never pay this. This is a picture of repentance. He fell down and he worshiped him and said, I am willing to do whatever I can. It's something that I don't know that I need help. It's a call of help. Have patience with me. And you know, friends, this morning, if any of us are carrying a load of a debt that we are weighed down with, we think about standing before God, because the day is coming that we are going to give an account of our lives as well. You and I, we're going to give an account and we're going to stand before the Lord, the Almighty God. And are we going to stand there with debt? Or are we going to stand there free? If we're going to stand there, you know your heart, I know my heart this morning. If there is a load of guilt on my heart this morning and I stand before God that way, it's going to be a debt that I can never pay. But you know what? If we now would do the same thing this man did, we fall down on our knees and say, God, have mercy on me. He's going to do the same thing. Verse 27. He's going to be moved with compassion. If we recognize the fact that we are not trying to pay this debt on our own, somehow I've got to cover this for myself, somehow I've got to pay for this myself, you know, I've done this wrong, I understand that, but somehow I've got to pay for this myself. If I could just be, try to be more perfect, if I could just try to love more people, and if I could just, somehow I've got to pay this debt myself, my friends, you could never pay that debt of sin on your own. And the Lord knows that. He's waiting for us to get on our knees and to worship Him and beg for forgiveness, beg for cleansing. He's going to be moved with compassion. And He said He loosed him and forgave the debt. Imagine that. He loosed him and forgave the debt. That's what God is willing to do for us. He's willing to do that for you. He's willing to loose you of that. You know, a debt that we cannot pay is bondage. Okay? Sin in our hearts are bondage to us. We can't go on. It's binding us. And we can't move on. We can't do what God would have us do. But God's willing to loose us from that. Forgive us from it. Loose us and forgave him the debt. And I don't know how this man felt after that happened to him. But he got up and he walked out. He was gone. He was free. He was a free man. He was a forgiven servant. Forgiven servant. And you know, I hope God has done this for you. I hope you have experienced this. But let me tell you something this morning. If you haven't, if you haven't experienced this yet, and this debt is there, that waiting to be paid yet, I beg with you this morning, God's willing to do this for you even now. Even now. Let's continue on. That same servant. So now what about you and I? What about you and I? We're talking about forgiveness this morning, and one aspect is what God has done for us. What he's willing to do for us. And we need to use that as an example. Verse 28. Our experiences with others. And the same servant, this forgiven servant, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. So the first one we said was $8 to $10 billion. Numbers that I have no idea what they mean. Okay, no idea. But this 100 pence was about a day's wage. And so think about what your day's wage is. Okay, I don't know, 200, 250. Some of us is less. Some of it's probably more. But around $200. Now, probably most of us could probably come up with that if we needed to pay a debt. If that's all we had, you know what? I'd want to get rid of it. Okay, this wasn't much at all. But here was a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence. Now, it doesn't say whether he had withal to pay or not, but all he did, this forgiven servant, he went out and he found this fellow man and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant did the same thing that this man had just done. Fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Let's think about that. The debt that you and I have before the Lord is something that you and I can never pay. Don't try, okay? Don't try. You can never pay that. You can never pay that. God is willing to forgive that. Forgive that. This man, too, was begging. So it's a debt that we can never pay, but somebody has wronged us. A small little thing. He said something bad about me. If somebody said something bad about me, that hurts, okay? It does. But how does that compare? It compares about with $10 billion that you and I can't relate to $200. Nothing. Not much at all. In verse 30, and he would not, this forgiven servant would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Okay? He cast him into prison. I've often wondered, so how's he expecting the debt now to be paid? You don't pay debts in prison. Okay? This just doesn't work. But he's doing the same thing that you and I talked about at the beginning. So this person wronged us, and so we're going to keep them in bondage till they pay, till they make it right, till they do it somehow, some way, as if it never happened. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Before he was a forgiven servant, now he's a wicked servant. And he asked him a question. He asked him a question. You know, God's reminding us that we have been forgiven so much, a debt that you and I could never pay. Because we've asked him to. Because we have come on our knees and we have worshiped him. We have asked him to forgive us. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. If he couldn't pay before, how could he pay now? If he couldn't pay this before, how could he pay it now? He was delivered to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. There's no way he could. The Lord hadn't changed his mind and lowered the debt in any way. He was back with $10 billion worth of debt, a debt that he could never pay. Verse 35. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto us, unto you, he says, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. From our hearts. You know, if there's a debt that we had been forgiven from, but we can't forgive others, we hold on to this thing and we just don't want to lay it down. He says, okay, let's back up to verse 34. We were considering the fact that he was delivered to the tormentors till he should pay a debt that he couldn't pay. Stop and think about that. Here he was brought to the tormentors. There was a debt he couldn't pay. What chances was that he was ever going to be delivered? None whatsoever. Never. What does that translate for us today? What's a wicked servant? Where's he going to end up? We've got tormentors that we're going to have to experience. Torment we're going to have to experience. If we don't forgive. If we don't forgive. And you know, unforgiveness actually is torture. That in itself is torture. Okay, There's always this grudge. There's always this thing on our heads. It's torturous. And so we meet people that have wronged us. We meet people that we're trying to avoid. And it's always skirting around it. It's always trying to get around. It's actually tormenting us because it's in our minds. It's there. It's a load that we carry. And God has planned it that way, that we're never going to find peace as long as there's unforgiveness in our hearts, my friends, this morning. As long as there's unforgiveness in our hearts. He says, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man, every one his brother, their trespasses. And so, forgiveness is a spiritual and it's a physical issue. Okay? But primarily emotional one. Okay, spiritual, we know that. We know our Bibles. We know what it says. We know that it says that we need to forgive them, and so we do that. And so therefore we can tell people, sure, I forgave them a long time ago. What are you talking about? So that's the spiritual side of things because we know we need to. And so we do this from the spiritual standpoint of maybe even telling them that or whatever it may be and assuring others that I've done that. The physical part is that we actually maybe verbalize it, okay? And sure, yeah, because we know it's right. We know we need to. But, you know, it's not healing. And if there's a sore that we have, of whatever sort, physical sore that we have in our bodies, sometimes, you know, they can look like they heal over the surface. Okay? Remember Brother Richard, he had this sore on his foot, and the outside was healing nicely at that time years ago. I remember asking him about it, and he said, it's looking good. The doctor pleased the way it looks. But when they really got down into it, they were still festering inside. They were still not healed from the inside. Okay? Why are sometimes those hurts not healing? Why are they there to fester us? Why are they there? The outside may look good. We can maybe even be cheerful with these people. Maybe we can even smile to these people. And we can go to their house for Sunday lunch and everything looks like it's okay. But yet it's not healing within us. It's because we haven't forgiven from the heart. What does that look like? We're still waiting for them to pay for the damages. We're still waiting for that payment somehow. Because somehow we expect that it needs to be brought to the point as if it never happened. And we don't realize that we're actually asking for something impossible. Okay, let's just be real practical about it. So somebody said something mean about me. And I've kind of wondered already if they haven't been kind of avoiding me and kind of not liking me to begin with. And then they say that yet, and that just hurts. And so. But now to make this thing right, somehow we need to bring this to a point where it is as if it never happened. And you know, then we got children's lesson and we teach these children that their words, you can never, you know, we got this tube of toothpaste, right? And we squeeze that out. Now you try to put it back. Well, no, once it's out, right? Okay? It's out, it's out. You take, yeah, we do have dandelions here in the South. You know, there's this thing when they get into that white, you know, we seed form, we blow on it and say, now collect that together. That's the way our words are. So, but somehow we're expecting this person that has said this mean thing to me to make it as if it never happened. That's what we would like it to be. Until that comes, I guess it's just going to be the way it is. It's just going to hurt. That's why it's not healing. But we're actually asking for something impossible. But forgiving from the heart. Forgiving from the heart means that we let go of that which our emotions hold on to. Okay, that which our emotions hold on to. What does that mean? Well, it depends what happens. It works on our emotions again. okay? And it tends to sometimes. It works on our emotions again. And when it works on our emotions again, somehow the subject comes up again, and we tend to avoid them. Opportunity arises, we darken their name just a little. Oh, we wouldn't do this directly to them, not face to face. We wouldn't tell them that, of course not. But we do to others and remind others how actually I've been hurt. Okay? Forgiving from our hearts, like verse 35 tells us, doesn't mean that we're saying it never happened. Okay? It doesn't mean we're saying it never happened. But we're saying we're not holding it against them any longer. Okay? There is a strong emotional part to forgiveness. Like I said, the spiritual is somehow easy to take care of sometimes. The physical is, because all we need to do is say sorry. You know, after all, that's all we need to do, right? But what's inside? Forgiving from the heart, not just from the mouth and from the intelligence, from our hearts. We're not holding it against them anymore. How does this work? We can look at the example of Joseph in Genesis 50. Let me just turn there and get some of those verses, just words, just the way he had it. Genesis 50, we know that Joseph was seriously mistreated. Okay, misunderstood back when he was young. He was sold into Egypt. The brothers thought that, you know what, we kind of got rid of this dreamer that has got these dreams and the fact that we're actually going to fall down and bow ourselves to him. We're going to just sell him. Well, let me tell you something. These men lived in bondage for many years. Genesis 50, in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will likely requite us of all the evil which we had done unto him. These poor men lived in bondage for years, just wondering, when is Joseph going to retaliate? When's he going to get back to us? He's going to hate us for what we did to him. Now that our father's gone, father's not going to find out. Joseph, what's going to happen? And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brother and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. They did the very thing that Joseph told him years before. But these men had kept themselves in bondage all these years, wondering what Joseph is going to do with them. Notice first beautiful verses here. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know, I think it was a tremendous relief for these men. I think his brothers, they got up and they said, so why didn't we settle this issue long ago? In Joseph's mind, the issue was settled. He didn't face this. He didn't hold this against them at all. He said, am I in the place of God? His brethren were the ones that were in bondage. They were the ones that were carrying the load of this debt. Not Joseph. Joseph had let them go a long time ago. He said, I'm not in the place of God. Now, like I said, forgiving from our hearts doesn't mean we say it never happened. And Joseph said, what you did was wrong. Okay? You meant it for evil. I remember what you did. Okay? But I leave that in God's hands. You meant it for evil. God has turned this into something good. You know, Joseph did remember, but you know what he did? He chose not. He did know what happened, but he chose not to remember, like somebody said. Can we always forget what happened to us? Can we always forget what others have done for us? No, we may not forget those things. But we can choose not to remember. Okay, does that make sense? We choose not to bring that up. We have laid that down. We have forgiven from the heart. We have turned that over to God a long time ago. What are you talking about? If God did this for us, if God says, look, I'll forgive you, but don't want anything to do with you. No, we're not expecting God to do that. We know when God forgives, it's gone. He tells us that. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. And he throws those sins into the depths of the sea, never to remember it anymore. But if he would just remember. But God doesn't. But God doesn't. How is it with us this morning? You know, dealing with our fellow men and those minor little things that they do to us, we need to remember the great debt that God has forgiven us. Debt that you and I can never pay. God forgave us and loosed us from it. Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price for our damages. We were talking before about the damage that was done and somebody needed to pay. You and I did the damages, but Jesus Christ paid the price for the damages. And he says, I'll forgive you. Forgive you. It was for damages that you and I could never pay. Others have said something to us. They can never make that right as if they never did it. You and I hold the key to that payment. You and I are the ones that can clear that slate, can clear that debt that you and I think we have, that others have with us. But let's remind ourselves again that it's us with them possibly. And we can forgive them and forgive them. Let's do like Joseph did. Let's turn it over to God's hands. Yeah, I remember that, okay? But you know what? I leave that in God's hands. It's forgiven. It's gone. It's cleansed. It's no more there. We have forgiven from our hearts, and our emotions have let go of that thing. And if we would do the same thing as God does with our sins and just throw them in the depths of the sea, we can't be pulling them up anymore and hold them against somebody. We're not going to be talking about them anymore. They're gone. They're forgiven. They're cleansed. They're paid. The price is paid. And you and I can hold the key to that. And that is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. And so whatever we face in life, those little things, those big things, those things that we try to, that hold us in bondage. Let's turn them over to God's hands and choose not to remember and forgive from the heart, and things will start to heal. If anyone here this morning is carrying that load that they don't want to stand before God with, we've not been on our knees yet to plead for mercy. God's willing to forgive us. He's begging for us to get on our knees. And I beg with you this morning to do that. God is willing to loose you of that and forgive you for that. And let's do the same to others. Forgive from the heart so we can find healing. We can find rest and we can find that peace Peace is a result when things are between us and fellow man and us and God the way they ought to be, truly ought to be, and things are forgiven. In closing, Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's kneel for prayer.